You were studious. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. It's Thursday, April the 24th, 2003. At this time, I'm going to open up a public hearing as a subcommittee of the subcommittee, and you'll have to remind me to make sure when I get a quorum that I come back in again. But what I'd like to do is open with the consideration public hearing of House Bill 5013, Economic and Community Development. Tap of the gavel. And at this time, we have, was Marty going to go?
Marty's not.
I'm getting sick. What am I saying then? I have Sherry Mark down here.
Yeah.
You know, I told you I have not been well. Sherry, are you and Mike coming up? Thank you.
Oh, sorry. If you wanted to let me know, we do have the schedule in the back.
Okay. I'll do that when we get it.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Sherry Shun, Deputy Director of Oregon Economic and Community Development. With me is Mike Burton, Assistant Director, and Jeremy Patton, who is with Budget and Management of DAS and sitting in for Cora Parker, who has a conflicting budget hearing that she must attend. What we have on the agenda today are two items. First, we need to wrap up our presentation by touching quickly on the administration aspect of the department. And secondly, we had promised to come back to you with some additional thoughts related to questions that you had posed earlier in the course of the hearing, and we felt we had not sufficiently addressed those questions. So if you would go to the briefing book, there is a tab, Administration, and I will be touching some of the highlights from that section. And then we will be referring to some additional handouts that are in front of you related to some questions and the department's responses. The administration function in the agency, you'll remember we have given you a briefing on business development, which had five different groups responsible for direct job creation and assisting businesses. And then most recently, you have received briefing on the community development aspects of the department, which work directly with communities to help build the infrastructure needed for economic development. And today we're talking about administration, which is really the centralized services and leadership function in the agency to make sure that the rest of the agency function efficiently. Very quickly, the responsibilities are three. This group is responsible for leading the agency, and that's primarily done through the director's office. This group is also responsible for strengthening partnerships. You have seen in the course of this budget hearing a lot of people coming here to say why you need to support the department and what a good job that we have done in helping with their interests and their needs. That's just one aspect of the partnership. In addition, obviously, the department's resources and staff is not that great, so we need to work with a lot of the other established organizations to leverage what we do have available. And finally, to support business development and community development activities through some centralized and effective, efficient services, which includes budgeting, accounts receivable, payable, financial statements, information system and network administration, etc. I want to say that our goal for 0305 is a short list. Develop new relationships, especially with the business community and industry associations. You have heard Marty Brandley talk about his personal visits with businesses, and we're continuing with that, and the director's office is owning a big part of that goal. The second one is improve accountability in tracking and reporting the investments. This is something that the department has been engaging in doing better over the last couple years. We think we have made significant improvements, but we don't want to become laxed in that area just because we have done better. And today, later on, we will be sharing with you some of the recent results that Senator Dukes had requested yesterday, and will continue to provide additional information to your liking. In addition, we are taking the lead in realigning the department staff and resources toward economic development and job creation, and finally continue to improve the efficiency of the centralized services, as I had mentioned earlier, fiscal, accounts payable and receivable, financial statements, information services, and employee recruitment, selection, retention, contract development, etc. Our 0305 targets focus on meeting the performance targets that we have set. You have heard the briefings. There have been questions about whether we really have the ability to achieve a much higher level of results as we have forecasted. We believe so, but we also believe it takes leadership, it takes ongoing monitoring, and it takes ongoing feedback to make sure that we are coordinating our resources and putting them to the maximum use. And finally, improving performance tracking and reporting by adopting recommendations made by a consultant study which was contracted by the Legislative Fiscal Office during the interim, and the report became available in January of 2003. We have carefully reviewed the report, and we believe those recommendations are appropriate for us to adopt and are in the process of doing so. If you go to page 3 of this presentation, you'll see really what do we mean by administration. We have the director's office, 5.38 FTE, and our responsibilities are leadership, strategic planning, partnership. We also are responsible for federal intergovernmental relations, and a big part of that is federal funding. And then finally, accountability agency-wide. Included in the central services, 15.42 FTE, we have information systems, which include 4 FTE, and that gives us a ratio of 1 to 31 IS support person to PC or laptop. One thing that we know is, in addition to network administration, because we have so many people who are in the field across the state, in locations where the connectivity vary a great deal and some areas connectivity is challenged, it requires additional effort on our information systems people to make sure that everybody gets plugged in and have access to the information that they need. This is the group that also is responsible for database management, so the reports that you're going to see later today, they are the people responsible for the programming and making sure that we get the reports that we need. We have a communications group with 4 FTE. They are responsible for the web communications, communications through publications and publication design, various aspects of public information, and one person is the receptionist for the Salem office. There is one researcher within the Central Services Group who has the primary responsibility for the performance reporting as well as providing support to the commission. I should mention that through the director's office, we also staff the commission's work. And the commission meets 5 times a year, roughly, statewide, to make sure that they get the opportunity to hear from the field input about the performance of the agency and the direction of the agency, in addition to setting policy direction for the department. Fiscal has 3.42 FTE, and these are the people who work on budget development, payroll, monitoring the travel, accounts payable, receivable, and contract tracking. And finally, we have 3 people in human resources and property management. Again, because of the field presence of a lot of staff, we have a good number of lease arrangements for bits of offices, generally as a part of the partner office space. But it still require a lease arrangement for the payment and the terms and access to a variety of office equipment, et cetera. Those are also part of the responsibility of the HR group, in addition to hiring staff, retaining staff, and disciplining people, and making sure performance reviews are done. So in general, we have 1 to 62 HR support to staff ratio. This group also oversees doing all of the personal services contracts, which is in the hundreds on a biennial basis. So the total FTE in this group is 20.80, and that represents $4.6 million in program services, which is the salary and services and supplies budget this group does not directly consume any funds in the Community Development Fund.
Sure. Before going back to page three,
yes.
Under the director's office, we have federal funding, and we may be touching on this as we get into some of the performance measures. But if you guys could kind of give us an idea or feeling about how we're doing relative to maximizing the return of federal dollars through the program. Are we missing any? Is there anything we need to do there in order to maximize those dollars return?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, our federal funding, which come routinely to the department, the largest ones are community development block grant and safe drinking water, which is a revolving loan fund. We have been getting, we believe, our share of those two program fundings. However, there are additional funding opportunities. You may remember a leadership summit that was held at the end of December when our congressional delegation, the governor-elect, and many of the legislative leadership were involved in looking at how can we better tap into federal dollars. And at that time, our congressional representatives were very strongly supported to helping Oregon tap into federal dollars. A lot of those are grants available, administered through, for example, National Science Foundation or National Institutes for Standards and Technology. These are not entitlement types of grant program and therefore require, one, Oregon put together its best proposal. It has to be fashioned periodically and updated. Two, Oregon tap into the appropriate funding source, and it takes a little bit more research both in the potential in Oregon as well as the best funding sources in Washington and lining them up. We believe there are greater potentials in that arena for developing the research capability, for technology transfer, for helping with building the new economy and knowledge industry in Oregon. And that's one area that we are standing at the precipice with great potentials, but a long ways to go yet. And Mike may want to add more.
Yeah, there are some other federal responsibilities we feel that are subject to the ebb and flow of the federal budget, including maintenance dredging, jetty replacement and repair. The department has an active role in those areas through this component of our budget. Additionally, we believe that there is a federal responsibility on the east side of the state, like there was on the west side with the forest plan, given significant federal policy decisions that have impacted the ability of Oregon communities to be competitive in terms of base economy. And we're pursuing an east side initiative, not unlike the west side forest plan. We have to be active. Oregon doesn't have a lot of congressional clout, although we're gaining seniority as time goes on. But it's not like the days when we had Hatfield and Packwood essentially running the purse strings. So the state has an active role, and the department carries a significant part of that effort.
At least we're telling a story, right, as to what's happening in our communities. Okay.
And I think one final mention of the administration budget proposal, and that would be going past page 6, 7, and 8. And that is the performance measure on tracking and reporting of the department. You have heard a great deal about the various outcome, high-level outcome measure associated with program areas. This is, at a glance, the department-wide performance measures that we track and report. I should say that the information reflected under targets was set by the Economic and Community Development Commission prior to the refocus of the agency, and therefore some of those numbers are outdated. However, even though we know they are outdated, we did not correct them until the commission has an opportunity after the agency's budget is adopted to come back and determine, reassess what ought to be new performance target for the agency. However, the data listed under annual 97-98 on through the first 6 months of 02 is accurate. And again, it shows what we routinely track, monitor, and report. And in case you have questions or would like to have additional information, that's something that we do as a management tool and feedback.
Terry, we're getting prepared. Around May the 6th, we're going to begin to have our actual work sessions. And so with that, we're beginning to get more prepared as far as the formality of what we're doing. So with that in mind, I will reopen the public hearing on House Bill 5013 with administrative overview and wrap up as a full committee.
And Mr. Chair,
I just want to make sure later. Sherry, hang on 1 second.
Okay.
I know we have one of our members still not here. On the back of today's agenda, you have the proposed schedule too. So just make sure we have that going home with us. Thank you very much for your patience.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that concludes actually my presentation about administration. Be happy to answer all questions.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The organizational chart that you have on page 3, comparing that to the program services in the platform, I might say the source level. Have you had a reorganization within your department since Marty came? This doesn't compare to this document. I'm just wondering how this fits together.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the question is about how does the chart that shows functional linkages as parts of administration compare against the old organizational chart, and the short answer is what you see on page 3 that's proposed for 0305 is 6 FTE short of the old functions that are accomplished by the same group. We have retooled and streamlined within the administration, the central services group, in order to achieve the staff reduction given the budget shortfall and given the fact that we have always applied a principle of hold business development harmless and hold our partners harmless as much as possible, or partner relations harmless, which basically require us to look at what we need internally to deliver the business and support functions and how can we do that with fewer people and in a different way. And so in the old organizational chart, we still have information systems, fiscal, and HR, which are part of central services, the box. And in addition, the researcher was in a different team. We pulled that person out because functionally, that person really is directly linked to the central support group. However, we have significantly reduced the FTE requirement to perform the same services by having streamlined and really tighten up our internal operations. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you had reorganized because of the...
If I could, Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, we are in the process of reorganizing, a wholesale reorganization of the agency in response to the new directions. That's kind of been woven through the presentation over the last 2 weeks, but it's not what it was when Marty got to the agency.
Thank you.
Sherry and Mike, the performance measures, we have to give an account for this, and we basically have to approve these and represent them. Could you walk through these with a couple of considerations in mind? Tell us what your opinion is as far as particularly these targets relative to the governor's revised budget and also co-chairs, and if you think there's going to be any impacts on your targets. And we'll have you walk down through these with us if you don't mind.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. If we're going to look at the performance target, maybe easiest to go to page 6. And currently the department has performance measures that are organized into groups. The first group would be create economic opportunities, and these are performance measures that contribute directly to jobs and other measurements related to the economy. If you look down the left-hand column, you will see jobs created retained, followed by the average wage of those jobs and the percent of the jobs that we touch that are above county average wage. That's what we count as a measurement of quality of jobs. And then going down to the new sales of assisted exporters, percent of all businesses that are assisted, that are small businesses, that's one area of focus to the department, which is in statute. And businesses that are assisted, that are owned by women or minority, that's measure five, again, a statutory direction. And we think it's very important in terms of making sure the small business engine in Oregon works. Moving down, percent of companies assisted that are Oregon companies, this is a reflection of our commitment to first work with Oregon companies, counter the perception of much of economic development is go out and land a big fish from out of state or out of the country.
Senator Carter?
Sherry, are you seeing that 92% of the businesses that you worked with were successful, or what does that 92% imply?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, the 92% would be of all the companies the department had assisted during that stated period are Oregon companies.
Oregon companies. Now, where where in your research does it point to the success, and then how do you identify success?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, I'm not sure the where the success is. Are we talking about the percent of companies assisted?
You said that 92% implied numbers of companies that you helped and them being Oregon companies. And I'm saying in your data, where can we point to these companies showing their success, numbers of jobs, and how do you identify success? Because I think, Mr. Chairman, in the past, and I don't want to label belabel this in terms of the new administration, but in the past we talk success, but we don't know the criteria, we don't know the outcomes, and if we're going to be thinking that we're all of that in three bags of potato chips, how many jobs did we get out of it? How sustainable are those jobs? Are they minimum wage jobs, you know, or family wage jobs? I mean, that's the kind of stuff I was trying to see.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, thank you for the clarification.
Sure.
I think success has been determined by the earlier measures, number one, total jobs created, retained, number two, the percent of jobs that are above county average wage, and then going down the list, some of the companies assisted actually had increased export sales. So the list of performance measures are those that our commission and other interest parties deem are definitions of success, and those are the ones that we collect information and report.
And again, this is not labeling this administration, but I'd like to have an example of, say, 10 of these companies, and looking at the raw data in terms of questions that you ask, successful outcomes, and how many jobs were created as a result of, and how sustainable were these jobs.
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter would be happy to provide that information. If I may go down the list, we also work with industry groups or industry sectors, and so there is a measure number seven, which is the percent of industry capacity projects that meet objectives. And going down to the department investment in distressed areas and rural areas, these are all related to the department's efforts and success in creating economic opportunities. And if you walk across and look at those numbers, for example, if we pick number nine, percent of department investment in rural communities, and this is the percent of grants, not total investment, because the commission has decided that since grants are limited resources, it makes sense for us to measure the percent of grants that are discretionary, really, at the department's level that have been directed to the targeted areas. And you'll see that we have achieved, on average, over 70% since 1997. And the targets the Commission has set is 65%. I should say that a focus on rural and distressed areas is part of the statutory direction that you have given us. I'll be happy to answer any questions there may be related to the Create Economic Opportunities measure. One complaints we have heard and feedback we have heard from folks looking at this list of measurement is there are too many. There are so many that it's simply very difficult to keep track of. I have to say that it is, if it looks like a lot to those who just look at it, it's a lot for those who have to keep track of the numbers and scrub the numbers, report them, and analyze them and make sense out of them and use them as a management tool to provide feedback and adjust our course if we are off course based on these numbers. However, this list of performance measures came out of an interim work group which included representatives of legislators as well as our partners and our commission. And because of the wide range of the department's functions and responsibilities, the work group, after wrestling with a huge list of measures, in the end decided that we simply need these many in order to tell the full story of what the department does. However, we have made an effort to highlight a number that seemed to be of strongest interest, and that would include total jobs, number one, jobs created that's above county average wage, number two, sales of assisted export, number three, and then industry capacity, that's number seven, and assistance to small business, women minority-owned business, et cetera.
Sherry, can you help me with number seven, the number or percentage of industry capacity projects meeting objectives? And I go over to 702 and 1202, and I see a number there that's substantially lower. Help me to understand what's happening here. First of all, definition of the percent of industry capacity projects meeting objectives.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the industry capacity projects offer a couple of examples of projects that we have financed. After 9/11, there was a very strong evidence that the United States, both in federal sectors and businesses, are going to increase spending related to homeland security. Oregon has a number of companies that have some strength and already are selling internationally products in the cybersecurity area, computer security, information security. So that sector, a group of companies, approached the department and said, would you be willing to help us in order to help us get organized? Because when companies try to get together, there's always a lot of concerns and suspicion in terms of secrecy of data and how they can collaborate. But when the state steps in, we become a third objective third party, which bring honesty and help broker that relationship. And so we made available a small grant to this group to help them get organized. And the end product was the group, including eight Oregon companies that were selected through a juried process, went to Washington, D.C., and did a presentation to select federal agency CIOs and chief procurement officers. This was enabled through Senator Wyden and Senator Smith's office. And the department's money was the seed money that enabled this result. So take that project and say, okay, what are we reporting? We have stated objectives for the project at the onset when we funded that project. When the project completes, we go back and say, did the project meet objectives? And the answer is yes in this instance, and that would count as one. So coming back to answer your question of the 44% for July through December of 2002, that's because we had funded a number of projects. Only a small percentage were complete during that six-month period, and therefore the percentage that are complete and have met objectives was a small number, but as we go back 6 months later and 18 months and 24 months, we generally see a very high percentage of completion and that have met objectives.
Okay, so was completion not a fact of just a significant downturn in the economy yielded a lower number? That's what I had in my mind. That's why I wanted some clarification. I wasn't understanding what that would reflect.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, basically the low number reflects not enough time for the projects to complete yet.
Is it affected by just the time period from July until through December?
Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Senator Carter.
Just a conversation to actually the committee this morning, about five of us in the round, which a couple of people members of the leadership. And the question was asked, tell me a little bit about economic development, what you guys do. So I didn't get a chance to explain. So one of the leadership members says, our goal in economic development is to be able, for the state, is to be able to go into the department and look at opportunities taken and then equate jobs developed as a result of that and stop all the flower pot kind of stuff that we've been doing in this state. And so Ms. Chang just gave a good example of what she was saying, and that's an idea the department had, but the idea of the legislature is that any jobs come from that, and you probably could say indirectly, because you need to do the research up front in order to have it. And I think that's why what they do versus what those of us on the committee see them doing and others' perception of what they should be doing mm-hmm. is causing the kind of rub that we are having in the legislative process itself. And that's why somewhere along the line, that's why my question this morning in terms of show us jobs. Mm-hmm. Because I'm telling you, this committee is going to have to answer to the leadership in both houses, in both parties, for actual jobs created as a result of an economic development department mm-hmm. and its relevancy. That's the question. That's the question that is coming up. And if it's not answered, then I think we're going to be seeing what we have seen in the past as to why a lot of people not thinking that the Economic Development Department is relevant and so therefore should not be. And that's why I was asking some questions this morning. You need immediate response from your partners in terms of jobs that were developed. I think that's why Senator Dukes was asking the questions that she asked in the last 2 weeks of the department as well. Because you're going to be under such heavy scrutiny and the hammer is coming down on us in terms of those performances of seeing actual jobs. We see your performance that was measured, but did they create jobs? And that's going to be the question.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I need to ask a question because at some point I'm going to be making recommendations to you folks. Is the issue that you are not wanting to see the subset of activities reported? That is, what you've got is a combination of things in these performance measures.
Right.
You have, I think the department tried very hard to match their performance measures to what's in statute. There's all kinds of directions mm-hmm. to this agency in statute that has no direct requirement for job creation, although there is the understanding that these activities should lead to that. And some examples of that is regional and rural, where the department passes money through to other agencies, regional boards in this instance, to conduct economic development activities that may lead to jobs, but the department itself is not directly responsible for what those regional boards are doing. So they've tried to capture in here work that they do that assists the regional boards to get to economic development. There are also directions in terms of assisting communities, other kinds of things. Not to muddy the water, but what I'm trying to get at is, are you wanting to tell them that the only things that you want to see on these performance measures is job creation, sustainability, wage levels, or not. And because I think there's a lot of information that they're providing that's
right.
interesting,
mm-hmm.
that helps you to know what their workload looks like, what their efforts are like, but are not directly outcome related. And so, you know, I guess what I'm looking for is some direction from you in terms of, do you want them to narrow what they report to outcome measures that are the most useful for the legislature, and to not report, which is not the same as not collect, I think, but not report on some of the underlying activities that they're involved in that lead to the job creation? That's one question. The second question is, I think everyone has been grappling with sustainability, and I think we aren't seeing much in the way of reporting on sustainability, and does the committee have some sustainability measures that they could recommend to the department that would also help to get to that? And so those are a couple of questions. I mean, I think there's a lot of information here, and it's a lot of valuable information, but a lot of it doesn't have to do with the direct job creation and wage information that the committee seems to be looking for.
For me, I know. I like the idea of how the department is performing, but if the department's performance objectives cannot point to some outcome measures in terms of job activity, and I think it defeats the purpose for which we allocate dollars in this state to try to make sure that the different kind of initiatives that we have are really the kind of outcomes that we want to see. I go back to 1987. One of the things that we did when I chaired the Committee on Trade and Economic Development, one of the things that we did was to say, because the legislature was just hammering us tell us where the jobs are, tell us where you created jobs. And so one of the things that we did, which was so, I mean, just such a minute point, but people used to put up a job created in this county, from the Oregon Economic Development Department and that kind of stuff. It's not perceived in such a way that people know that the Economic Development Department helped Harney County to create 50 jobs. That's the kind of thing that I hear my colleagues saying, mm-hmm. that I want you to perform well because your performance measures tell me that you're doing a good job, which in turn help create jobs in other communities. Show me the beef. And that's what I hear all of these guys saying. Now, my little thing is, I don't know how to phrase it there, I could, is that I don't care if you hang flower pots, how many people you hired as a result of hanging those flower pots? And I'm saying that's not information you have to collect. Your partners have to give you this information. What are you requiring of your partners so that when you come before this committee, we can say the Economic Development Department is doing a good job, because you see up in Astoria there were 20 jobs developed this last year.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members, let me see if I can restate what I think I'm going to be coming back with. The department needs to narrow its outcome reporting to jobs that are created or retained as a result of their efforts, that they need to be reporting by county or region as a result. I mean, I think that's what I heard you say. No? Okay. Sure.
Well, let's get to Representative Smith, and we'll come back to you.
Thank you, Chair George.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Chair George. But before we go down that path, I think it's very important for everyone to understand that economic development's very much like art, and you don't create economic development in a day or a week or a month. It takes a long period of time, and economic development is very, very different to everyone. For some folks, economic development is the fact they're able to get an ATM machine put in on Main Street. That's economic development. That creates an opportunity for money to circulate around a community on a Saturday during a parade. It's economic development. For some folks, economic development is the bringing in of Sony or Intel. Big, large projects. That's economic development. For others, it's the notion that they're able to get a highway modified to allow greater access to businesses that already exist. And so I think it's very important before we go down a path of saying, this is what we're going to do. We understand that economic development is very different to everyone. And I think as we go around this table, every one of us have a very different idea of what we expect out of the department. And I'm not sure that performance measures that say we must have this by each county is going to equate to each and every one of us feeling like the department has done a successful job. Because I can tell you, in my situation, it is going to be very, very different from the good representative or the good senators. Very different. To me, knowing that certain types of jobs is going to be very irrelevant to me. The others, it's going to be very important. I think I'm of the opinion our communication needs to be on the process that they're moving to go back to what we talked about on day one, or at least I tried to raise the issue on day one. What do we see Oregon looking like in the future, and how are we getting to that step? How are we getting there? It's very clear to the good senator, jobs is what she needs. To me, it's making sure a bridge is put together intact so my log trucks can drive across it.
And can I just talk with him? Mine,
sure.
Okay, thank you. mine is, I have this concept of economic development in the department being one where they aid and assist communities to create opportunity for developing jobs.
We're on the same page.
Okay.
We're very much on the same
when
page.
What I'm communicating to this committee this morning is what I'm hearing the leadership say. And that's what they said. And that's what they want. I have worked very closely here for a long time and understand that the department can't go out and create jobs. They aid and assist in creating jobs and economic opportunity. Because I even see it as an infrastructural thing, you know. But when you hear, I don't know whether you've been listening to your colleagues, but I'm telling you what I heard this morning, what I communicated to you this morning is what I heard in the lounge. And it's not committees where you hear the real gruff of things. Mm-hmm. It's when you are socializing, sitting around talking, when you hear. And when I heard this very important member of the leadership committee of the team this morning in the Senate lounge, that's what was communicated. And I bet when this committee goes to them and report, when we start doing their budget, you watch and see what they're going to say to Senator George they want to see, how many jobs they create.
Well, the one thing I would point out is let me give you a case in point. In my home county, Moro County, the Port of Moro, they're working with the department right now on a loan grant type package. Number of jobs is very difficult to determine, but what it's going to do is it's going to free up almost 1,000 acres of industrial land that is now going to be available for future expansion. So if they had to come to this body today and say the number of jobs, they'd kind of shirk. But I can tell you over a decade, the number of jobs that are going to be created is going to be huge.
Right. And, Mr. Chair, that is exactly the quandary I was trying to
right.
drive
right.
towards.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that the department can report succinctly that gets to the job creation concern when there is at least some understanding that part of a huge part of their responsibility is setting the table, as Mr. Burton described?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get at reporting at measures that they report that tell that story? I have to admit I don't know the answer to it. I know we can get to jobs. I know we can get to wages when they happen. What I don't know how the department reports other than through the rather extensive list that they have given us. I don't know how they report on the activities that they do that are necessary to create the environment for job creation to happen. And I think that's the major quandary that we've got here. And I'm grappling with how to even recommend to you a way of them being able to communicate that effectively. So that's why I raise this issue.
Mr. Chairman, I think one interesting thing is that if you can get the leadership team to come before this committee mm-hmm. and talk about their goals.
That's a good idea.
I think that's the thing that we, then we'll know. Because it's pretty dangerous to not to hear what I heard this morning, and yet that's not the direction I see the committee is going in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we are talking about the performance and the objectives and the mission of the department, not how many jobs did they create. We're talking about how they are performing. But it was a scary message this morning.
Let me see if I can clarify or muddy the water, depending on how you guys receive this, before we go to Representative Hansen and then back to Senator Dukes. And that is, one of the things that's resulted in a change of attitude or mind on my part has been the fact that I see with Sherry and with Marty, I see, and Mike, I see a change in direction.
Right.
Now, I think what we need to know is clarity on what exactly, here, what I'd like to have presented to me is, here's where we've been, here's where we think the focus now needs to be to look at job creation. In other words, present to us something we can look at that defines what the vision is. Because that, I think that's what's missing, is everyone's a little bit cynical about things that have happened in the past, even though, as Robin will tell you, part of my personal experience was that we recognized that a lot of the things that I was objecting to were totally out of your control. They were decisions being made locally.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but if we had that vision part of this, in other words, how are we redirecting the agency in order to address job creation and sustaining business? I think that would be key. Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll muddy the water a little farther, too.
Okay. So I didn't help. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just going to add to it. I'm a real believer in benchmarks. I mean, that goes back to when program first. I mean,
that's right.
But one of the problems with them is we think sometimes that they're going to be the golden bullet, and that's just going to tell us everything we need to know, and they're going to be this management tool that we can look at, and it'll just answer all the questions. They're good yardsticks, but it's our responsibility, every member of the legislature's responsibility, to go one step farther and try and understand what they mean. And for example, I would imagine any business that relocates to Oregon is going to have some connection with this department. So do they get to claim credit for every single job that comes in? Probably. But if they had minor involvement in bringing a company in, that's not nearly as important as the incredible work that they did in helping to keep Freightliner going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but so the raw numbers don't tell you that kind of a story. What's the level of involvement? And I mean, if we end up just concentrating on total jobs created or retained, and that's the only thing that somebody's judging this agency on, I would imagine we got smart people in that agency that can produce incredible numbers. But it's our responsibility to go a little farther. I like all of these things. I think I wouldn't at a town hall, I wouldn't bother to pass these out to every member, every constituent, because they probably don't need it. They're probably only interested in the top two or three. I hope our leadership isn't just interested in the top two or three or only rating an agency based on that, because obviously it goes a lot different. These are incredible management tool things for us. I think we should be very, very aware, so I'm sure keep them. But the ones that, it kind of depends what the audience is that is going to find them relevant, and then what's the level of work that people are willing to do to go in and find out how really relevant they are, or where they fit. Jobs created in a significant recession are going to look a whole lot different than jobs created during the boom time. And there's no real good yardstick to be able to measure accomplishments. You could have a decrease of 40% and indicate that could be an incredible effort.
I'm just going to tell you guys what's coming. This is coming. These were members this morning, so it's not a matter of what Mark Carter thinks.
Well, with all due respect, it's here.
Yeah,
that's right.
You're right.
That is reflected in the co-chair's budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my concern is how does this committee help the agency focus its outcome reporting in a way that gets at the concerns that members have. And it may be that we want to think about some short-term direction to them over the next interim, you know, to deal with, the concerns that have been raised. But at this point, I don't know what that would be. I don't know how you report on infrastructure investments that may have a return 10 years down the road. So,
well, an example of that, I was thinking some of the investments that were made in Rivergate in North Portland in the 60s are paying incredible dividends now, and I don't know how you measure. Well, you could measure it. You can keep long-term records in terms of this was dollars that we put on the ground in 2003, and take credit for jobs that are created in that arena in 2014, and keep a running tally of how many jobs are available because of infrastructure improvements that were made two decades ago. But that's real long term, and it's probably real important to collect that. But I don't know how much effort you put into it.
Well, just an example, but I think it was 1997, we were at the Port of Morro, and we went out to look at a brand new facility that had gone in there just because the facilities were already in place. In other words, they had the portfolio of things to say, here's what we have. We have the natural gas. We have the highway. We have all of these things, and the company came and cited there. So there's no question that long-term investment may not pay off today or tomorrow, even next year or 5 years from now, but may later. I need to get to Senator Dukes, and then we'll come back. You're very patient.
Next week, no. This week, yes. Robin, as far as the performance measures are, I went through the first nine, and I'm happy with them.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting here trying to figure out how to make it easier for the agency, because we want them to put their money into actually creating jobs as opposed to just doing the paperwork. The performance measures told me more than I expected, but some things that I was very happy to know. Percentage of women and minority businesses that were that they were working with, percentage of rural. I don't want things broken down by county, but they need to be broken down to some extent. For example, you could probably create a whole lot of businesses just by going into Portland, but you wouldn't be doing much for Oregon if you did that. And the same way around, you could probably ignore Portland and go into certain rural areas like Bend and such. I consider Bend rural, and do well, but you wouldn't have done anything for the folks in Portland. So it needs to laugh at me. So
with all due respect,
Bend overall.
Not compared to fossils.
You got a point there. So I think it needs to be sort of that way. Oh, hi, Rick, my school superintendent. But so I think I'm happy with the performance measures. The thing that I'm concerned about is sustainability, and it's one of the reasons I asked for the information I did yesterday. I mean, this is just an off the top of my head, but it seems to me that we have been in the business of creating jobs for 20 years. Now, if we had done a good job for 20 years and those were sustainable jobs, we ought to be in pretty good shape right now. And so that's probably maybe doesn't work out if you pencil it out or something, but it just seems to... That's one of the gauges that I want, is over 5 years, over 10 years, are we hanging on to these jobs? Because this agency has a lot of money, and it's fungible money. We could spend this any place we wanted to spend this stuff. We could bail out the Oregon Health Plan. We could save, you know, grandma in the nursing home. We could pay for schools out of this money. And
actually,
well, not all of it.
Senator Dukes, really the only fungible money that you've got in this department is $50 million. The remainder is revolving loan funds, federal funds, things that are not available for general expenditure, or certainly not immediately available. I mean, if we cease the revolving loan programs at some point, the proceeds would become available, but it's not available today. So
I even think $50 million is a lot of money. And
right.
My point is, we choose to put it into economic development because we think there's a benefit for that, and that's why I was giving somebody, and it may not even, it probably wasn't even this agency, the other day a hard time about a program to the downtown development program that, you know, plants a lot of flowers and trees. And those are really nice, but those jobs are pretty short-term, and it's not what I was hoping for in the way of jobs. I don't know for myself how to judge. I mean, there's a basic infrastructure in the agency that we need to keep. When I was elected as a county commissioner, I went in, as I think every county commissioner does, we wanted economic development. We were going to be a part of that. We were going to go bring business into the county. I didn't know how to do that, but I was going to do that anyway. And when I look back, the only times I was probably even vaguely successful was, and even as a senator helping local governments, was when I was able to make a phone call to the Economic Development Department because they knew what they were doing. And I want to make sure that all of that infrastructure is there. I got concerned yesterday when we heard about what I think was the second program that was going to train people and local government people. And I think the leadership training is great, and I know people who've been through it, and I don't know that it created a single solitary job. There are times, when times are like this, I think there are good things that we don't have the time to do anymore. And that we need to focus better. And it's not just about immediate job creation, but I think what Senator Carter was talking about is more immediate job creation because we need that today, and that's what I've been hearing you guys talk about for the last week. So I'm happy with the performance measures, and I am for myself struggling, and that's why I'm going to take more time with the budget because I think there are some programs that we don't need in their entirety. I think there are some things that we are doing today that are really nice for local government that we could probably not do for a couple of years and pick up in a couple of years when times got better. And I'll take the heat from the local governments, but they'll still be there in 2 years. This isn't keeping their general fund going. You guys, quite honestly, are known as a place you get free money in some of your programs. If somebody thinks they've got an idea for something that might work in their community, you've got grants, and they're available for a phone call. And sometimes that's really good, but when they're repetitive, you get to know that certain communities have got you on speed dial and that they've figured out how to take advantage of those. It's like knowing how to fill out the government forms. The people who know how to fill out the government forms get the money, and the people who don't get the money. And so I'm still trying to sort through that and figure out which programs I think we actually need for right now while keeping you intact. And I'm sorry that there are so many performance measures, but they really do give me, and if you can figure out how to give me sustainability on top of it, I'll be happy.
Mr. Chairman, do you have one?
Let's Chair would like to respond, then I need to go to Representative Smith and back to Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a really very interesting and very useful discussion because your viewpoints represents what we have heard and we have taken to heart in responding as best as we can. But I think to provide a short answer to Chair George's question of, so what's the vision and what's different from before, We have tried to show you really two, three pictures in the overview, and that's in page 34 and 35. Really, what is different today is everything is looked at through the job creation lens in the department's refocused budget. That is, I think, the simplest way to say it. Marty said it in a longer, prettier sentence. It says, sustain quality jobs for all Oregonians at least cost. But it really is, it captures what we have done. We have focused on immediate job creation. How do we get to those jobs? Through recruiting out-of-state companies and marketing Oregon, through working with existing Oregon businesses. You heard presentations about those. And that's where the bulk of our people in the business development group come from or reside in. In addition, we think international trade is important because of our connectedness with the Pacific Rim and Europe and potential opportunities to offset the U.S. cyclical cycles that expose our companies. And you've heard about business finance, which is a tool that we provide to businesses that otherwise may not have access to the capital. And then finally, a very small investment in small business services. Those are the five areas, five instruments we use for the immediate job creation. Now, how is this different from before? Well, we had similar tools before. I have to say we're not as mindful in focusing on this work because it wasn't as important for us to get immediate results. There was a time 5-6 years ago when job creation was not really looked upon as a good thing in certain parts of Oregon, and we were told to stay away from those regions. It's not too long ago when there was a major expansion that the local government required any additional employee beyond a certain maximum number, the company will have to pay the government for additional public service charges. I think times have really changed, and we get the message. We know job creation is important. Marty has been telling all of us in the department and drilled it into our heads, job means general fund revenue to the state in the form of income tax. That is going to be immediately immensely useful to the state in terms of being able to finance all the public services. And so we get it. We have redirected, refocused our people toward job creation. Mike was saying we're in the middle of restructuring the agency. Well, we didn't restructure by drawing a new organizational chart first. We restructured by looking at what every person does now and how can we get every position to focus more on jobs and have a greater immediate contribution to job creation. And then we're now stepping back and say, now that we know what everyone's going to do differently, how might we organize in order to streamline, reorganize, and minimize the central services, the organization, the paperwork, and still effectively and efficiently support that field operation? We have reduced the financial commitment to, the proposed financial commitment to community assistance and infrastructure investment. You've heard about presentations in those areas. We do have a huge portfolio. We do have a lot of funds come in. But even in the infrastructure investment portion, which is where most of our assets are, we have redirected the use of that resource toward industrial sites, getting them ready to go for business development. I think that's probably the most simple way I can to say the vision is different, focusing on immediate job impact. The application, the actual carrying out the vision is being done through looking at every person, increasing every person's accountability and responsibility and contribution toward job creation. That's reflected in these functional charts. It's not an organizational chart, but frankly, before we get to drawing the new org chart, we want to make sure people are clear, they're shifting gear, they're paying attention to job creation, and that's not forgetting rural areas. That is paying as much attention to rural areas as it is in urban areas, but statewide, job creation and the capacity for job creation is number one, and we get the message, and that's how we're redirecting our budget.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Jordan. The only reason we're having this conversation is because a bunch of politicians are beating on you to go out there and say you're going to create jobs. The fact of the matter is I have long-term memory, and 2 years ago I sat in this very chair and listened to my colleague from Washington County say, I don't think we need the department anymore because you've created too many jobs. And the fact of the matter is, the fact of and that's pull the tape. That's what happened. The fact of the matter is, Oregon's in a recession, and we're reacting. We're not being proactive. We're reacting because none of us want to go home back to our district and say we're not focusing on creating jobs because people who aren't in economic development don't understand it takes time to create jobs. You folks had nothing to do with the recession in the state of Oregon. We are a blip on the big economic development screen. We were part of the Asian Pacific economy. We're part of a national economy. We're part of a global economy. I think you folks have played a very key role in creating jobs, good jobs, but you folks didn't cause the recession. I think we need to step back and say, why are we being so reactionary? We're reacting here. I know, and that's what I said. It's politicians that are driving the fact that we're now going to create jobs. I challenge this committee to go pull the tapes from 2 years ago and listen to, we're on a path. We're on the right path. We're finally on the right path. Well, now we're hearing we weren't on the right path and we must create jobs. I know you folks don't believe that. You're getting hounded by politicians telling you what the message is. Now, with that said, I'll back off. On performance measures.
Wait, you said you're going to back off.
Performance measures.
I thought you were going to stop.
Well, you know, it's funny because everyone knows how to create jobs. Everyone knows it's economic development, and yet I'm willing to bet there's only a handful in this entire building who have ever truly written a community development block grant application or have ever submitted a loan to USDA or who have ever gone out and actually marketed overseas. I'm willing to bet there's only two or three of us in here who've done it. Anyway, performance measures. I would be very interested in knowing, and I think it's a key performance measure, how much time is spent collecting the data that we're reading today. Because I remember sitting in a seat 12 years ago putting all this together and spending hours and hours of time putting this together when I could have been writing a grant application for a community. So if we're going to be looking at that, I think the very bottom line ought to be amount of time used to collect this data, and I'd be interested in knowing the department's analysis of the opportunity cost of that time. Thank you. Senator Carter gets to be passionate. I can be passionate once in a while.
I'm going to ask what he's saying. How do you all really feel? Representative Krieger, then Senator Carter.
Mr. Chair, gosh, it's been fun sitting here.
It has been fun.
He's talked about a pathway.
It's just a long path.
It takes a long time. Really, what you did, you went from performance measures, and you went over to page 9. We've been talking jobs in this little bracket they've got there. Mm-hmm. And if I had that great big box has got nothing in it, if I was going to fill it in, I'd put number 1 in unemployment, number 50 in job creation. That's what I'd put in it. And then I'd go across to the next series of boxes as a way of looking what they're doing. It says more competitive tax structure. I'd like you to tell me what you think that is. The other thing is you go down here, it says going to the right, it says incentives and tax programs. There's a bunch of people running around with papers referring to those as tax breaks for the rich at the expense of the poor. That's how they're going to phrase it when you try to give incentives to get businesses here, because that's where the money is. That's what brings them. You go down to the next one about more business-supportive regulations. What you're talking about is LCDC, DHU, Division of State, land, the bureaucracy, the fees, and the process people have to go to. And again, Oregon perceived as a great place to do business. I go back and put the number 1 employment, number 50 in job creation. And on the right side, program area actions, there's no connect between that and the third one that I just named. So what I'm looking at is you talk about a new direction, and I don't see described pathways to objectives and goals. I don't see that. And I'm not so certain in my own mind that jobs, that government really creates jobs. I think maybe you create the atmosphere for job creation, the opportunity for job creation, and you maybe can remove impediments to job creation. I really believe that. You know, it's a free enterprise system that's going to do it, and we have to allow them to do it and give them the opportunity to do it. But it's been an interesting discussion. But I would like you to address your view of what you view as a competitive tax structure, because we're talking about changing, you know, going to a sales tax and revenue neutral and all these different things, you know. Tell me about that first.
Matt?
Sherry, we asked a similar question, you know, relative to the tax expenditure. Is in fact, the time Marty, I asked that question. I know his circumstances, and you guys are working on it. You have an answer. I will be quiet.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Krieger, thank you for asking that question. Actually, you have a short supplemental handout in front of you, and a number of the questions that have been asked we try to address here. I'm sorry that Representative Smith is out of the room, but he's been asking what's the department's view of Eden. And we try to answer that question first in improve Oregon's competitiveness and really citing the Oregon business plan, of which the department provided a great deal of support and linking businesses to that plan. We don't have a view that's significantly different from what's proposed in the Oregon business plan. So you had heard a presentation from Duncan Wise earlier, and we just want to kind of reiterate that. But moving down the list to a competitive tax structure, you had asked earlier about looking over the tax expenditure report and identify what are the tax incentives that are most important to business development activities. And so flipping over the page at the bottom, important incentives very quickly, those elements that affect the ownership costs, for example, property tax abatement or exemptions in programs that are like strategic investment program or enterprise zone, and accelerated depreciation of buildings and equipment investment, which, as you know, are very important to the high technology industry. Anything that affect operating costs, for instance, inventory tax exemption, workforce dependent care tax credit, these are important. And then going down the list, the ones that we continue to hear from select industries, this is not across the board for everybody, certainly the R&D tax credit is an important one for certain industries that are have the imperative to stay in the leading edge and continue to excel in their research development. Investments that complement our environmental stewardship, such as pollution control, equipment credit, and business energy credit, and recycling credit. And finally, though the tax deduction expenses for business startup cost, it has a significant impact on encouraging small new businesses. We noted in the tax expenditure report for 0305, this particular tax did not seem to be used a great deal. The revenue impact seemed to be fairly small, but for those small businesses that use it, it seemed to have a significant impact. I should say that we did not go through the tax expenditure report and list all of them and say these are the ones that relate to us. We basically took a higher level view and identified those that come up most often in the recruitment or in the business expansion decisions, conversations that we have with the companies. And if you would like more detailed information, we certainly can provide that.
We are going to run out of time really quickly, and I want to get to Senator Morris because he hasn't had a chance. And then,
no, I was next.
Oh, were you next?
Yes.
Oh, you were. That's right. It's been so long.
And I don't want you guys to forget this one either, because are you going to be next week?
Yes, ma'am.
Because what is good in one part of the state is not necessarily good in another part of the state. Film and video has been good in the Portland area, and you guys, I've been hearing a little individual conversations, and you don't see where that bring about job opportunity, but I want you to know that it does. And that's one of the examples I wanted to cite, Mm-hmm. And so I'm very familiar with having these kind of goals, Robin, and I would be neglectful if I were to say not, because I was on the leading edge of developing economic outcomes in this state from as far back as 1985. And so I don't have to have, we created 10 jobs in Harney, we created 15 jobs in Multnomah. I don't have to have that. What I was trying to give everybody the flavor of, the politics are going to be so strong in this building, mm-hmm. we may as well bring the leadership team here to talk to us about this, mm-hmm. so that we can get their budget passed on the floor. And I was trying to keep from saying that to the public and to these guys, because it's going to be so heavy on us to get their budget passed. We may as well put something in writing or in our perspective mm-hmm. toward this budget before we get on the floor, because the fight is on. You guys made me say this, and I have to say it. They're going to have trouble with their budget if we can't do some kind of explaining. And so nobody needs to read me the Riot Act in terms of what economic development is and anything else. Now you made me say this stuff. Politics is going to be so pervasive that we are going to have a hard time passing this budget unless we can face the reality of explaining some of this stuff in terms of job creation. There it is on the floor.
Very quickly, that is precisely the question I was trying to ask.
That's right, you were.
Which is, how do we take the information that the agency has
right.
given us mm-hmm. and direct them to report it in a way that gets at the questions
That's
that
right.
people have?
And right.
I was a party to the development right. of all of these
right.
performance measures, but they aren't, and I think they're wonderful, but they aren't getting somehow to the heart of the questions
right.
that people have about what this agency is doing. And,
that's right.
and I'm not here yet with any recommendations, but I think things need to be
changed. Now, are you guys understanding our message? This is what the message is. I didn't want to put it on record, but there it is.
Now you emphasized it three times. Senator Morris, were you?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm just getting in the queue.
Okay. We're going to have to queue.
We're going to leave the queue out of here really quickly. We can read this stuff and be ready to ask questions again on Monday.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One thing I have noticed, and it's not just in the information that we've received here with respect to performance measurements, but in the other committee, DHS as well. These folks can only be held accountable for that which they control. Mm-hmm. End of mm-hmm. subject. And that's what needs to be measured. Now, there may be outcomes as a result of their activities, but when you put together performance measurements, the only thing that we can focus it on is that which you actually control. And there are goals beyond that, mm-hmm. that we're striving for. You can't control unemployment in this state. You can't control employment in this state. But there are certain things that you can do and set goals specific to your span of control. And that's what we need to measure.
Thank you. Representative Hanson.
If we wanted to identify, I think, the greatest impediment right now for job creation over the next 2 years, the legislature should get a very large mirror. I'm starting to think we are the problem. If we were moving the transportation package that can create 5,000 jobs, $2 billion worth of public investment, if we could solve, and there are ways to do it, solve the Oregon Health Plan shortfall with a provider tax and pick up significant hundreds of millions of dollars of unattainable matching funds because we don't have the match to go with it. We could pump close to another $1 billion into the Oregon healthcare system, which is jobs, and that's an incredibly important industry in this state. But if we cripple it by allowing the Oregon Health Plan to virtually go away, we're costing a lot of jobs. We got construction projects that we could fund all over this state. The baseball stadium, which is probably the most controversial.
See, he's got a laugh at all the guys.
But between construction projects, road and bridge projects, and the health care plan, we could probably retain or create 10,000 jobs simply by what the state of Oregon does. With the jobs coming from economic development as being extras and enhancements beyond that, but I'm not seeing a lot of movement on any of those things, and I don't understand why we're the impediment to it. It reminds me of a quick story.
It better be quick.
A new minister was out. Investigating his new community, and he came up to a farmer that was in the field, and he said, "Mike, you and the Lord have certainly created a beautiful crop here." And the farmer said, "Well, yeah, but last year when I was sick, you should have seen what happened when the Lord tried to do it himself." I think, you know, they're not responsible for creating every job in Oregon, but I don't know how many jobs would be created if they weren't there to lay the groundwork for it.
Well, that was a good way to end. Thank you for being here today and listening to our presentation. we'll close the public hearing.
Oh, we certainly therapy.
That's right.
Okay,
at least they were on the fire.
I would like to ask the agency, if at all possible, if they could take their proposed functional accountability and do a matrix that shows what happens at the governor's recommended level, what happens at the co-chair's level, because I think we need to have that discussion.
Yeah, we get too many budgets.
Right, mm-hmm. and the other thing is that I would like to propose that perhaps this be built into the budget report as an accountability expectation at whatever level it is that we fund them.
Anything else to come before the committee?
Mr. Chair, before you adjourn, quick question. Senator Dukes yesterday asked some information about our project, funding, revolving loan size, et cetera. Our people stayed up all night to put together information.
To
impress you.
Okay. We're impressed.
How would you like us to respond, or should we respond just to individual members, or is everyone interested and we'll have a future opportunity?
I don't want to have you come in and talk to each one of us. I'd rather have you out there looking for a job. How about we incorporate that into Monday's schedule?
Very quickly? Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Great. With that, we're talking 5013, right? We'll be closing the public hearing. 5013 and the tap of the gavel will be adjourned.